After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied. "For this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. I want to spend some time thinking about gifts this lunchtime. The story is told of a dad who turned to his daughter and said, "What would you like for Christmas?" And the daughter stopped and thought and said, "Well, I'd really like a baby brother." And it turned out that the mum was in fact pregnant, and the baby brother arrived around Christmas time. And the dad turned to the daughter and said, "Are you impressed? What would you like for Christmas next year?" And the little girl stopped and thought for a moment and said, "Well, if it's not too much trouble for mummy, I'd like a pony." Getting a gift you love is great, but it's harder than it first appears. I don't know if you've had the experience. You think, yes, that's the gift I most want, I most need in all the world. And then you get it, and it just, you know, it ends up on the shelf. It didn't quite hit the spot the way you thought it was. It wasn't quite the game changer you thought it was. I got tickets to watch Arsenal a couple of seasons ago, and I thought, this is it, this is the best. And I watched the game. It was not a game changer. I wished to change the game I was watching. It was not so great. We all long for that game-changing gift. Some people get themselves into debt trying to find it, or spend countless hours online scrolling, going, "Oh, maybe this gift is out there somewhere. Let me see if I can find it." Only to find that nothing quite delivers. Or we get cynical and pretend it's not out there at all. In Matthew chapter 2, we meet God's gift, Jesus, who really is the game changer of history. A gift that in verse 9 leaves the wise men overjoyed. And the first thing this passage wants us to understand about the gift God has given is that the gift of Jesus is the gift of a king. The gift of a king. The gift of a king is all over this passage. So verse 2, Jesus is born, and behold, wise men come from the east saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews?" King. Over and over, we're told that this king is going to be born in Bethlehem. Why? Because hundreds of years ago, a prophecy was spoken about Bethlehem. From you, little number 6, Bethlehem shall come a ruler. You can even tell that God is gifting a king from the gifts that the wise men bring. What's the first gift they bring? They bring gold. Gold fit for a king. Gold is what you give a king. My family went down to the Tower of London just before we moved out of Tower Hamlets, because Tower Hamlets residents get to go for £1 to the Tower of London. There you go, a little trick if any of you actually live in Tower Hamlets rather than commuting in all the way. But you walk in to see the crown jewels, and you see jewels, but you also see just so much gold, because gold is what you give to a king. So the carol goes, "Born a king on Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again. King forever, ceasing never, over us all to reign." God gifts a king, a ruler. Does that seem like good news to you? Is that a good gift? many of us will remember that there's something happening tomorrow. I can't quite remember exactly what it is. But some of us will be worried about the outcome. We'll be worried that we'll end up with a ruler, if you like, of the country who isn't going to govern for the good of the country, they're going to govern for the good of themselves. They're not going to be as bad as Herod, trying to kill his rival. But we'll wonder, are they in it for our country or just for themselves? Kings don't always seem like great gifts. And yet, when you read the Bible, you realize Jesus is the best king you could ever hope for. He is good. He brings good, right morality. I've been reading a book recently by a non-Christian historian called Tom Holland. He writes a history of the development of Christianity called Dominion. It's just been released. He used to assume, he says, civilizations had always upheld basic human rights, equal rights to life and liberty, the pursuit of happiness, regardless of race, sex, ethnicity. But as he wrote a history of the Roman Empire, he found a culture making a virtue of systematically oppressing the weak. He sees human rights today, sociologically, as a repackaging of Christ's concepts for non-Christian audiences. Christians would add that our God-given conscience sides with these truths when we hear them. But it's a long way of saying Jesus' morality is amazing. And talk about the strong helping the weak, as Jesus called. He doesn't just call for it, he embodies it. Jesus is our creator, stooping to help us. As the carol says, he came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all. But he's not found in the palace. Yet his shelter was a stable, and his cradle was a stall. Jesus is the good God, modeling what it is for the strong to help the weak. He's a good gift of a good king. And he's a gift of a powerful king, one who's able to help. Quite a few churches these days hold what they call Blue Christmas services, because for many, Christmas is a joyful time, but also a time to remember that life in the family, life in the world is not the way they wish it was. It's a painful time. And yet as you watch Jesus perform miracle after miracle in the pages of the Bible, there's hope. There's someone who's got power over disease, death, disaster, all that is evil in this world. It's like he's in his miracles, you see this little trailer showing what it would be like in Jesus' full feature-length film, Beyond the Grave. God gives a king, and that is wonderful news. He gives a king, and yet God's gift is even better than we might realize because it does more than we might think. It does more than we might think. My nan got an iPad for Christmas a couple of years ago, and once she was taught through it a few times, she just about got how to use the kind of pictures function. And if someone had sent her a few pictures, she could open that and look at it. But then she'd turn it off and put it back in the box. She just couldn't understand that it did more than that. Well, God's gift does way more than just give us a king. And again, you can see that truth from the gifts that the wise men give. They don't just give gold, they give frankincense and myrrh. Now, myrrh is a very strange gift to give, because in John 19, myrrh is what is used to embalm Jesus' body before it's put in the grave. It's like me rocking up and putting a kind of tombstone under the Christmas tree. It's not exactly kind of deck the halls with boughs of holly, is it? I mean, the carol says this, myrrh is mine, its bitter perfume breathes of life of gathering gloom, sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in the stone-cold tomb. Somehow these wise men understand that it's not just a king that's come, it's one who will die. And as you read the rest of Matthew's gospel, the king's death isn't presented as a tragedy, it is presented as a triumph. actually as our means of rescue. Matthew chapter 20 says this: Jesus did not come to be served, though he was king, but he came to serve in this way, to give his life as a ransom for many. This king is a king who comes to save, to give his life as a ransom. So think Prince William coming to save in his helicopter ambulance, times that by 100 and you're not even close. This king comes to save. Have you ever received a gift that says a bit too much? I don't know, under the Christmas tree this year, you open up the envelope and there's a kind of gym membership from your other half, or a diet plan, or my Uncle Jeff, without fail, used to give me toiletries with deodorant in it, and I was always just, Uncle Jeff, what are you trying to say? But the gift of a rescuer, of a saviour, is a gift that says too much, right? It says that we need saving. Why is that? Well, when you read the Bible, you realize it's ultimately because we all try and hand back God's gift of a king. In this passage, that happens a lot. Herod, in extreme way, rejects the king. In the end, he sends soldiers to try and kill the king. But actually, all of Jerusalem hear that this king might be born, but they don't rush down to Bethlehem with the wise men. Instead, they're troubled, they're disturbed, verse 3 says. It reveals something of the human heart. We don't want God's king around because we all want to be the ones that make the rules. We reject the king. And we show we reject the king by rejecting his rules. Last Christmas, we got an Amazon Echo with Alexa on it, and people are worried, aren't they, that Alexa is kind of eavesdropping the whole time on what you're saying. And one person quipped, "My wife asked why I spoke so softly in the house. I said I was afraid Mark Zuckerberg was listening. She laughed. I laughed. Alexa laughed. Siri laughed." Now, it's not true, we hope. Who knows what's there in Silicon Valley. But imagine if Siri was recording in my pocket everything that I said. Imagine the camera was working, it could see everything I did. Imagine that text that takes one more step forward and it can see what I'm thinking. There'd be loads to be proud of, right? There'd be loads that you'd want to say, look, I did live the way that God calls, that Jesus says is right and good. But there'd be moments where we'd go, oh no, I've not even lived up to my own standards, let alone Jesus's. And God loves this world. Jesus loves this world. And so he hates it when we wreck it. He loves people, so he hates it when we hurt people. Rejecting the king puts us on collision course with the king. And if God was just, well, we would face an eternity under his judgment. But we mustn't forget the gift. God's king dies to rescue. We deserve to die, yet Jesus comes to die in our place. Is it 12 days since the London Bridge attacks? Already it's kind of faded from the memory. But there are a few stories there of people giving their lives, in the case of Jack Merritt, to try and protect others. Or Lukas Kozacic, 1 minute of one-on-one combat with this guy, trying to keep him from hurting others, receiving 5 knife wounds in the process. Jesus gives his life at the cross to save others. Gold for a king, myrrh for a funeral. How about frankincense? Well, frankincense was burned in the temple, the Old Testament temple, the place of meeting between God and humanity. You see, Jesus doesn't just die our death. He opens up life for us in relationship with God. Tom Holland, the non-Christian historian, just asks, well, has any more audacious claim been made in history that humans, tiny specks of dust on a slightly bigger speck of dust, can have a relationship with the creator of the universe? Jesus' death unlocks the door, offers that relationship. This is God's gift. How will we respond this Christmas? Like Herod? Like Jerusalem? Or like the wise men? Will we come overjoyed to find this gift? Will we see a saviour we need as our saviour, a king who should be our king? These wise men came, and when they saw this baby born to peasants, didn't see someone to overlook. They saw someone to worship, to get down on the ground before and bow. And bow to and say, here's my life. What do you want to do with it? How are we going to respond? Or maybe we need to know more about what's under the wrapping paper before we accept this gift. There are lots of ways we could do that this year. We could take away one of the copies of Matthew's Gospel, have a read for ourselves as adults. If you've never done that as an adult, I'd really encourage you. You could probably get through on a commute or two, depending on which national rail service you're using at the moment. Be a great way to find out more. What next step will we take to find out more? You could join us for a Christianity Explore course here at the Barge, or sit down one-to-one with someone and look at the Bible. It'd be great to take a next step.